שלום, אנחנו לומדים את מאמרו של בעל הסולם, השלום בעולם, בספר
כתבי. We're reading from the article Peace in the World. You're welcome to go to kab.tv to ask questions, relevant questions may be aired during the lesson. Again, we're reading from בעל הסולם's article Peace in the World.
השלום בעולם. עיונים וביקורת.
Peace in the world. Scrutinies and inquiries requiring concerning matters that cause absence of peace. Suggestions of world reformers and testing them against reality. Observing the good that is founded on mercy and truth, justice and peace, as implied in the book of Psalms.
צדק ושלום נשקו.
Mercy and truth met, justice and peace kissed. Truth will spring forth from the earth, and justice was reflected from heaven. The Lord too will give the good, and our land will yield its crops. Everything is evaluated not by its appearance at a given moment, but according to its level of development. Everything in reality, good or bad, and even the most harmful in the world, has a right to exist and must not be destroyed and eradicated from the world. We must only mend and reform it because any observation of the work of creation is enough to teach us about the greatness and perfection of its operator and creator. Therefore, we must understand and be very careful when casting a flaw on any item of creation, saying it is redundant and superfluous, as that would be slander about its operator. It is common knowledge that the Creator did not complete creation when He created it, and we can see in every corner of reality, in the general and in the particular, that it abides by laws of gradual development, from absence to completion of growth. For this reason, when the fruit tastes bitter in the beginning of its growth, we do not consider it a flaw in the fruit, since we all know the reason. The fruit has not completed its development. So it is in every element of reality. When an element seems to us as bad and harmful, it is but a self-testimony of that element, that it is still in a transition phase, in the process of its development. Hence, we must not decide that it is bad, and it is not wise for us to cast a flaw in it.
Shilot?
Any questions?
Akol barur.
It's all clear.
Ken?
Yes?
Davka kotaret harishona, iyunim bikorot beshelot
agol. The first question, first titles, or scrutinies and inquiries concerning matters, etc. If you can open it up.
Scrutinies and inquiries concerning matters that cause absence of peace, suggestions of world reformers. That means, well, he wants to say the following, that we should not interfere in anything except in us completing it by our observation. So besides the way we look at reality, we have nothing else to complete. And reality for itself, let it develop the way it does, because here you have nothing to add. It all becomes clarified to you according to your qualities. There are factors that you need to use in order to correct the way you look at creation. But creation in itself, as it occurs before you, is whole, complete. And peace in the world is the perfection, wholeness that you need to attain. Who did we have back there?
He says we can never look at something and appreciate it according to its state, but according to its level of development. Who can know when something starts and when it's supposed to end, and what's the way in which it's developing, etc.?
Everything that you see is, you see yourself, as much as you are still not ripe, not corrected.
Yeah, but he's talking about how to evaluate a process.
According to how you see things around you, that they are still not in wholeness, each one of them, and also in the complete connection between them, this indicates how much you are not corrected. What did you want to ask?
I have this blog on Facebook, and I was asked, how did we create, how did our environment create violence and pedophilia and all those things? How can these things be justified?
Justify what's happening on the outside? You can't justify it. There is no justification for it. We only search for the right outlook at what we see. And the right outlook tells us how much we do not understand creation, we do not understand mankind and our role, and that we should repent, as it is called.
He writes here that anything that's happening, any evil, is supposed to happen, and I'm supposed to look at it correctly.
No. Here, the question is the following. Either you look at it in a way that you are observing reality as a Kabbalist, or you're looking at it as an ordinary person on the street. These are two different forms. If I am asked what can be done, I won't tell him that if you correct yourself, then instead of all these riots on the streets, you'll see pretty people who only want to do good to each other.
It
depends on what level you're looking at reality from. Because on the one hand, the whole of reality is complete and only man needs to be corrected, but to correct man means to correct his environment.
What?
Anyone else? We'll check that more. We'll see. Okay, so then let's continue.
Why, in order to change, or, well, what you said now, in my observation, I have to change the environment in order to change my observation. Why do I? You just said.
What is the environment? What is the world? It is a reflection of me. This is how I see myself. If I correct myself, I will see the world also as perfect.
Yeah, but I have to correct myself, not my environment then.
But how do you correct yourself? It is through the environment. Each time by your interaction with the environment.
My relation to the environment.
And also the environment's relation to you. You are asking of the environment to influence you. The environment also includes the Creator, so that He will influence you, so that you will see yourself in wholeness with them. According to that, you check yourself, how much you are already perfect, whole. Well, we will continue and see. I don't want to stop here on the first quarter of a page and to start digging in depth. Let's go.
The weakness of world reformers. This is the key to understand the weakness of world reformers throughout the generations. They regarded man as a machine that is not operating properly and needs mending, meaning to remove its broken parts and replace them with working ones. This is the tendency of all world reformers, to eradicate any harmful and bad in the human species. And it is true that had the Creator not stood against them, they would certainly have by now cleansed man entirely, leaving in him only what is good and useful. But because the Creator meticulously watches over all the elements in His creation, not letting anyone destroy a single thing in His domain, but only reform it and make it useful and good, all the reformers of the above-mentioned kind will vanish from the earth, and bad qualities will not vanish. They exist and count the degrees of development that they must still traverse until they complete their ripening. At that time, the bad attributes themselves will turn to good and useful ones, as the Creator had initially planned for them. It is like a fruit on the tree that sits and waits and counts the days and months. It must still wait before the completion of its ripeness, at which time its taste and sweetness will become evident to every person.
This means that the Creator operates over the man through the world and over man's inner nature through the person, and so the person is locked in from both sides. The Creator works on him through the world, and the Creator works on the person through man's nature. And it's all in order to bring man to the corrected state. Corrected means that the person will understand that he needs to accept the Creator's guidance as fully and adapt himself to it against his inner egoistic desire. And until he would balance his inner egoistic force and the external force of the world, that it all belongs to one complete guidance of the Creator. Any questions?
So,
anyone who disagrees, who is still in collision between these two influences, the internal one and the external one of the Creator in him, if he wants to change that, this is called world reformers. If he wants to correct himself accordingly, then he's considered the servant of the Lord.
Rav, you explained that a person is being driven through two things, his nature and the world.
Yes, the Creator changes inside of us elements, our qualities, our observation. He's there inside, changing everything. This is my inner nature that the Creator controls. And also from the outside, that from the inner nature, where I see the world seemingly being outside of me, I also see whatever I see, and it's all also presented to me by the Creator. So I'm under the two influences of the Creator, the internal one and the external one. So what should I do? Balance the two of them. Yes?
Yeah, and, well, there's no difference in terms of the work. We have to relate.
I have to crown the Creator on the two of them.
On both of them, yeah.
Anyone else? Yes?
Students is asking, so all the world reformers are the cause the greatest harm?
Yes, well, it depends on to on what extent, what height, what place he's in, what the Creator gave him to rule. Yes.
Какая роль у исправителей мира? Ну, это ж они находятся под управлением Творца, у них.
What is the role of world reformers? If are they under the Creator's supervision or not?
That does not matter to me. Are they under the Creator's control or not? Everyone is under the complete control of the Creator. Complete control. However, they influence me, so I look at all of their influence over me as something that is given to me with respect to which I need to correct myself.
Многие из них преуспели в своей деятельности, там натворили, да, там таких, изменили историю, скажем, да.
Many of them were successful in changing history.
I do not ascribe to them any free choice. I don't think that they changed it. The Creator changed it. Is there anyone operating in the world other than him? Anyone else? Yes.
So one principle that I take from what we read so far is the greatness of the Creator, that this is what arranges.
Yes, but this is not how it is in my eyes. I am not so corrected yet. When my will to receive awakens in me, I feel, along with feeling that I'm a beast, it could be this way also, but along with that, I don't have the forces to overcome and to shield myself against it. So I do whatever my ego dictates to me.
So, exactly, if I read this, then I realize the greatness of the Creator is a principle I need to hold on to, but it feels to me like there's something else here that it can't really define what is the additional principle that he uses here.
We can look at it as on a sociological research. He investigates the socium and he tells you this and that is happening in the socium, in society. But we can look at it also the way that the servant of the Lord should look at it. For him, the whole world is one control of the Creator besides him, and he needs to adapt himself to this rule. It is called to reach dvikut, adhesion. So it depends on how you look at it. He writes both in this way and also in that way. It depends on how we follow and research the text. It is desirable to open up both this way and that way. But here is the whole matter. Do you allow these world reformers? Do you give them freedom of choice so that they can do whatever they want? Like now, let's say, the government or each and every party. So he says that it is not so. That the Creator is the one who is ruling. What does it say so here? That the Creator is the one who is ruling and all the world reforms will vanish from the world. And everything, all that they do it only through the upper governance in order to show us how specifically by all of them, by the whole world wanting to say it's not the Creator who rules, but I'm ruling specifically by that, we discover that only the Creator rules everyone. That's it. Yes?
How should a Kabbalist look at the world?
This is what I'm saying.
Well, let's say there's this point that's not clear.
There is none else besides him.
Let's say I look at war. Should I agree with it and say it's good that there's war?
No.
Or I should say it's not good that there's war?
No, you should behave according to what you are.
What does that mean?
There is the desirable and there is what is present, right? The desirable is to see the corrected world, and corrected means that there is none else besides him. You are connected to there is none else besides him, and then you have no problem. You see that only the Creator fills up the whole of reality.
Okay, but there is still war.
But if you're not corrected yet, then anyone who is finding any flaws is seeing these flaws because of seeing any bad because of his own flaws. And you might be on a spiritual level, but you're still in such a state where you see wars, you see problems, instead of the complete state. What?
It's not clear to me. What do you mean, there's war? Okay, I agree, there's none else besides him, he does that. I agree, this is needed for development, but there is still war, so I agree with it. I still see war. What do you mean, I don't see war? What do you mean, how do I not see war if there is a war?
It's impossible to explain it.
Okay.
It's impossible to explain it. Everything that transpires is with respect to the person who attains it. So, of course, we are in a state where we see all kinds of horrors and wars and everything. On the other hand, what we see, it all exists inside of us, within our nature, within our qualities, that's where it happens. But if I'm not corrected, I cannot yet ascribe it to myself only. Rather, it seems to me that it is outside of me, to the extent that I'm not still in adhesion with the Creator. So then reality is divided into me versus him and not us as one. These are things that, well, we are talking about them, but we live in reality as it is felt in us in our broken kelim.
Ken.
This is why we have to arrange a few points of observation that either we say that as in the end of correction, Gemar Tikkun, where nothing really changes, or it was given to the created beings to see everything according to the corruption, that the Creator corrupts them on purpose, or that even though they're under corruption, they should nevertheless depict themselves as being in the corrected state as well. However, they have some deviation. There is some deviation. Let's say that you took some drug or you drank alcohol or something. So you see the world in a blurry manner. This is how our ego that exists in us blurs things for us. We see bad things, we cannot agree with what is happening, etc. It is all because our ego that is standing between us and the Creator is corrupting the Creator's actions for us, showing us the opposite actions. So what can you do? Will you say it's not the truth? It is the truth. So if I see war, of course, there is war. Instead of the Garden of Eden? Yes, instead of the Garden of Eden. So what should I see? See war or the Garden of Eden? Paradise. Both this and that. Because anyone who is accusing is accusing because of his own flaws. So I see war. Where is that war? We say everything is inside of the person, but I see it, so what do I do? It was given to me in order to correct myself. And how do I correct myself? Also, by taking part in war and killing. Yes? What was it like at the times of King David? And Rabash would be saying that then war was not like today. Tens of thousands would be killed on one day. It was all, you know, contact battle, hand-to-hand fighting.
Turns out, if I understand correctly, this article was not written for people with rational mind of this world.
Realistic? We're not realistic.
No, I'm talking about just a pure corporeal perception. If people read this article, they can't understand what's written.
No, nothing that he writes. A Kabbalist cannot write for you like a child at school writes some research work for you.
It just seems like Baal HaSulam many times writes articles that he wants to write for the external public, but you say completely not.
He cannot write it, and you cannot understand him in a simple manner. These texts are not simple. You always have four layers, and you enter deeper and deeper, and you understand it in the depths. You can see what he really intended, and you don't fantasize that it seems to you that this is what he intended, rather this is truly what he intended. He cannot write for you only on the upper layer. He's not a historian or a psychologist or sociologist.
If behind all is the Creator, and like a this teacher for the world, what is he want to teach us more? Recognition of evil or none else besides him?
Well, it's one against the other. What is the evil that I disagree, I do not identify with? There is none else besides him.
Recognition of evil, I meant that it's coming from us, that we don't see the good.
We will get to know the evil nature that the Creator has arranged for us on purpose, so that against it, against this evil, we will get to know him.
So to recognize the evil is more easier, even though it's hard to convince people that things are bad and are going to be worse. But let's say that's easier. Not also besides him, however, until they see, the parting of the sea or some other miracle, you can't... What needs to happen to show people that there's one force guiding reality?
I actually think differently. I think it's easier to agree that there is none else besides him, whereas the recognition of evil, that I'm entirely bad. And in any turn, in any thought, in any desire or decision, I do it only because of my ego and my personal interest. And the more I think that I'm objective, it's simply because I don't reach the understanding of how much I'm subjective and an egoist.
That's a bit new to me, that it'll be easier to identify an else besides him?
Oh, you talk to anyone and they say, sure, it's all the Creator, it's all the upper force, you know. There's no problem to agree with that, because it rids the person of all kinds of problems and accusations, etc. Oh, it's the upper force. Whereas to say that in each and everything, I am being operated only by my ego in all of my turns, this is a problem. And to the full depth of it, until we reach such depths in the ego, it takes... Well, there is such a klipa that the person is willing to remain standing opposite the Creator until he wants to kill him. Very simple. Until he feels that the ego is me and I'm not willing to relinquish anything, I'm just standing opposite the Creator.
So when a person discovers that faith is in the Creator's hands, he'll be rejected by that? He'll resist it?
This is the point of inversion. Give it to Moshe.
You explained before that the way Baal HaSulam or a Kabbalist writes is more internal, that it can't be written like a child who conducts a research.
He's also incapable of writing differently. You see, to diminish himself so much, it's a big problem. He also writes about it in his prophecy.
So you also explained that there's no literal kind of saying here. Now, there's a duality here.
It's always four layers.
But there's also this duality, because on the one hand, there's the interior. On the other hand, it says what's written is the simple literal meaning. So, if you can explain that, meaning if he writes what he writes, is what he writes is what it is, and without inner interpretations.
I can't explain it. This is the whole matter, that it is impossible to talk between the degrees, rather each time, and we know that also on ourselves. People are sitting here now. One of them is in a state of ascent, the other in a state of descent. The third one is altogether disconnected from his emotion, from ascent or descent, and is only in his intellect. The fourth one is disconnected from his intellect entirely in his emotion. So each one of them grasps what we're saying now in different forms, and they do not understand each other. And on the next day, they will not understand themselves from yesterday. So we know that already. So how can you... I don't know, what is it that you want? To have some comparative study here between the different levels, the levels of the perception of reality? I don't want to read that in a simple way, as it is written, you see. Nevertheless, we should go a bit deeper, try to understand the issues, not to look at it as some sociological study, or I don't know what.
I'm asking also because many times I run into this problem of how do you answer that there's the inner level and there's this simple interpretation.
There is no other level.
No, it is said that there is no deeper level because the right...
No, you don't just use the literal meaning of it. It's not so simple, straightforward. What? You read the Chumash like a novel that they got married and then they divorced or one kills the other, they go, they come back. It's just a story? For you, it should be clear more than anyone else that that's not how it is. How can you read the Torah, the Pentecost, this way? Pentateuch. Is this how the whole world accepted it? As just stories? And later on, they drew thousands of pictures, of drawings about it, and they made it into stories and Hollywood and whatnot. Is this the Torah? Of course, the whole story has depth, and here too there is depth. When we say about the world reformers, or about these people, or those people, are we talking about human beings? Who are they? They're just puppets. Do they have any free choice? When now... Different parties want to run for elections or do something. Are they doing it? The Creator is playing with them in order to show us how much we are in the shattering, in order to correct it, because only through that, through the shattering and the correction of the shattering, do we have the ability to show our free choice and what is it that we truly want. And all of the rest is just his game, in order to bring us the recognition of evil.
And when I see, when I identify the world reformer in me, and he yells and complains, do I just beat him in the teeth, or I can leverage it and use something from him?
You need to see yourself operating for the correction of the world. Now, on what level can you operate for the correction of the world? It could be that it's on the level that you can do it now. You actually get into the elections, or you get involved in some municipal work, or you do lectures on connection between people. It all depends, but you do it out of the final point that you want to reach. That's it, and on the level that you are capable of. Well,
טור ב' למטה, זכו אהישנה, לא זכו בעיתה.
Rewarded, I will hasten it, not rewarded in its time. We must know that the above mentioned law of development, which is spread over the whole of reality, is certain to reform all evil to good and useful, and acts through the power of the government of heaven above, meaning without asking permission from the people, dwellers of the earth. However, the Creator...
This means that this is the law that works. It's like a train or a chain of events that keeps on rolling, and this is how it has to be. This is what we call in its time.
However, the Creator placed knowledge and authority in the hands of man and permitted him to accept the above-mentioned law of development under his own authority and government, and handed him the ability to hasten the process of development as he wishes, freely and completely independent of the boundaries of time.
Now, the question is, what will he do it for? Either for his own benefit or because this is the Creator's desire. Here, there is a big difference.
It turns out that there are two authorities here acting in the above-mentioned conduct of development. One is the authority of heaven, which is sure to turn anything harmful and evil to good and useful, but it will come in its time, in its own way, heavily and after a long time. Then there is the authority of the earth, when the evolving object is a living, feeling being. It suffers horrendous torments and pains while under the press of development, which carves its way ruthlessly. The authority of the earth, however, consists of people who have taken this above-mentioned law of development under their own government and can free themselves entirely from the chains of time and who greatly accelerate time, namely the completion of the ripeness and the correction of the object, which is the end of its development.
So far, is it clear? So, there are two ways in our development. The development is necessary, mandatory. There's nothing you can do about it, and the press of development works. It's also called a press, right? That this thing that straightens the, flattens the concrete on the road. So, this is how it works, always. If you want to run ahead of it, so that it won't go over you, go ahead. Now, for what purpose will you run ahead of it? So that it won't, you know, run over you because you're afraid of it, because you don't want to have these torments of development, and we see these torments of development all over the world, and now we're just before even more serious torments of development, or that we will want to develop faster than that press of development that is behind us, because by that we are giving contentment to the Creator. So here we have double work: to run ahead of the press of development and with the intention that it will be in order to bestow contentment to the Creator and not for us. If it would be for us, we would even enter under this press, making a restriction, masach, and ol chozer. So, in those things, through those things we actually elevate ourselves to be, in order to bestow ahead of the press of development, in order to bestow contentment to the Creator, so that we, it's not for us that we are running ahead of the press of development that would soon catch up with us, but in order to give him contentment only for that. Then the press of development increases its speed, and we run even faster, and by ourselves we are accelerating this press of development by ourselves in order to show how much we can be with the intentions in order to bestow. Well, here there's actually a nice picture with this press. Okay, yes.
Rav, our dissemination should be teaching the world that there is such a thing called the general law of development, that it exists. Is that one of our roles?
Well, for sure. To begin with, this is what we need to say. When we say that the world is integral and global and it's all one unified and interconnected system, why are we talking about all of this? That it has a form and laws, and these laws are absolute and they're all interconnected, and this is why we have to reach connection. All of our dissemination is really to disseminate connection.
On the one hand, when we look at reality, we see development. It's very clear. If we look, you know, at several decades ago, you see that reality has evolved in various ways, good or bad, but things have evolved.
They changed. Maybe that's better to say. Why are you saying it developed if you now drive in a cart with an engine and before the cart had horses? Is that called development?
Yes, that's what people see.
Well, it's a question.
Again, I'm saying that That's what people can see. My question is, this too is something that reality and science today, they talk about it as being coincidence, everything
is
incidental.
What is your question, sir?
Is there a way to convey this law of development and explain it without the need for faith? Without someone having to believe me, but some just seeing it?
No, you can't show him the engine. I mean, where is it? He'll tell you, I don't believe it, I don't know. All in all, 500 years ago, people were thinking that, you know, what planet Earth is, it was just a flat plate, and the sun was revolving around the Earth instead of the Earth revolving around the sun, and it was all just, it's all one big sphere where the stars are all glued and there's some old men, you know, lighting them up, etc. So, what do you want? You can't explain that to people. Other questions?
What's the thin difference between running before, ahead of the press of development and interfering with the plan of creation and then bringing contentment?
It's the same thing. The Creator and the plan of creation, it's one thing. It's the same. Who is the Creator? This entire system, including us, it is all the Creator. There is none else besides Him.
To run ahead of the press
is the freedom of choice. If you want to run ahead of the press, then you run in hastening your development. Now the question is, are you running ahead of the press in order to avoid the press, or in order to bring contentment by that, because you're running towards the goal? Are you running because of the press that is behind you, or are you running because of the goal that is ahead of you? That is the question. We have more here, but it should be clear that, well, let's go. Such are the words that our sages said about the complete redemption and complete correction of Israel, and thus they clarify the verse, I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Rewarded, I will hasten it. Not rewarded, in its time. They wish to say that if Israel are rewarded and take the law of development, that their bad attributes must go through in order to invert them into good ones, they will bring it under their own government. In other words, they will set their minds and hearts to correct all the bad attributes in them and turn them into good ones by themselves. Then, I will hasten it. Meaning, they will be completely freed from the chains of time. And from now on, this end depends on their own will. Meaning, only by the greatness of the deed and the mindfulness. Thus, they hasten the end. But if they're not rewarded with developing their bad attributes under their own authority, but leave it under the authority of heaven, they too are certain to attain the end of their redemption and the end of their correction. This is because there is complete certainty in the government of heaven, which operates by the law of gradual development, degree by degree, until it turns any evil and harmful to good and beneficial as the fruit on the tree. The end is guaranteed, but in its time, meaning it is completely connected and dependent on time. According to the above mentioned,
meaning, it's as if we have a choice. You want to reach it. The end is assured. You may not speed up. You'll advance anyway. But if you wait, these forces will eventually push you to the right way. So why do you need to run before that? Then that means you have to make efforts and connect and make concessions, etc. Maybe better to just have it pressure your ego, and then you'll eventually make more and more concessions and move forward. And this is the whole matter of the work that a person takes upon himself.
According to the above-mentioned law of gradual development, one must go through many degrees which tend to come heavily and very slowly and lengthily and stretch over a very long time before one reaches the end. Because the objects we're discussing are evolving, sensing, living beings, they too must suffer great agony and pain in those states of development. Since the compelling force that exists in those degrees in order to raise men from a lower degree to a higher one is but a pushing force of pain and torments that have accumulated in the lower degree and that can no longer be tolerated. Because of this, they must leave that degree and rise to a higher one. It is, as our sages said, the Creator places over them a king whose decrees are as harsh as Haman. Israel repents, and he reforms them. Therefore, the end is certain to come to Israel by the above-mentioned law of gradual development, and it is called in its time, Be'ita, meaning tied to the chains of time. And Israel's guaranteed end, by taking the development of the qualities under their own authorities, is called Ahishena, I will hasten it, meaning completely independent of time.
Understood, yeah? No questions? Yes, Yaakov.
It sounds to me like a rabbit and a turtle that in the end, a tortoise in the end reached the ending point, but what counts is the ending point. So one went for this way and the other one went for that way, but in the end they will both reach the ending point. So what's the essential difference? In the end, what is measured, as you say, is the goal, the final goal. And they both will reach, there is none else besides him, one through suffering, and the other one runs ahead of the press. So, what is the difference here in terms of the system?
I don't know. I also don't understand. What's the difference between them? One is pressured by the Creator, and he has to run faster. The other one, he doesn't push, and lets him live quietly, calmly, with his ego, and then he doesn't run anywhere, and so it's all in the hands of heaven, so to speak. So what's the difference? There is no difference.
Yes, sometimes, just in terms of our outlook, the way we look at those who do not know what we know.
Yes,
there is this, I don't know if disrespect or how do we look at them correctly? How do we see them and respect them? The fact that they are part of the system.
Right. They're governed by the Creator in a complete manner, fully operated by their will to receive, and that's it. What's the problem with that? Why do you criticize them?
So, why do I come and...
To you, the Creator doesn't let you rest. But... But for them, everything seems to be fine. Why don't you look at it that way?
Why am I in a point where I seemingly want to help them?
Maybe you'll disturb them. On the contrary. Yes.
Rav Bala Sulam writes about the people of Israel. He's writing about us, right? We're now the people of Israel.
Both accelerating time and in due time, he writes it about Israel. You're right. He emphasizes it here. And the promised end will come to Israel by development and also by the chains of time, also towards Israel.
Right. This refers to the whole world clearly, all the people on the screens, right? They're also Israel.
Of course. Everyone in the world, doesn't matter who he is or what he is, where he is, if he has an inclination to discover the upper force, this is what we call the Yashalke,
and the straight to the Creator. The connection between us, each lesson, and especially in the upcoming Congress, how important is it for all of our friends to physically come there? Because the friends are having difficulty coming there.
Well, I don't know. When I say come, it's like I'm promising people that if they come, they're coming to the end of correction. There's a limit to how much I can draw people and tell them you have to come, because I don't know what certain people living in certain places, what they're, I don't know, perhaps they are selling their necessities for life in order to purchase a ticket. Maybe they go to the Congress and then he'll be laid off his work because of that. I don't know. So there's a certain limit to how much I can say everyone must do it and everyone must come, etc. I'm limited here.
I understand, but we as friends, how much can we pressure them?
I think pressure to the extent that you can help, meaning gently, and not to push them into states that will later be harmful for them, so they don't get laid off their jobs or go into debts that they can't cover afterwards. We'll help them, etc.
Meaning to assist them so that they will turn for help.
Yes, as much as possible.
Can we have a short update about the state of our friends that we are praying for?
No, that's later, at the end of the lesson.
Is there an answer to the question you asked before, 10 minutes ago, about how should we cope with or what kind of attitude should we have towards the fact that there are people that this is what the Creator gave them, this is how He manages them, and why should we come and interfere in their form of development? It's a question that is relevant in the work in the 10 also for us. There are people that this is how they are. Why should we come and push them, seemingly in contrast to their own will? So how do you work with both of with these two sides? On the one hand, there is seemingly a desire or a need, or, you know, we want to push things, but maybe that's just an egoistic drive, and that's not what is necessary.
This is what Baal HaSulam writes, that if you saw... You saw this city that is being, that is being becoming perished. You have to come and save them. This is the whole matter of dissemination. Otherwise, how do we allow ourselves to get involved in everyone's personal process? Everyone has their own lives. How do you come and start changing people's life? Look, people are sitting here 10 or 15 or 20 years even. They change their lives completely. They give their free time, not hours of free time, years of free time here. So how do you do such a thing? How does someone take such a responsibility? And by that you basically rule over them. I seemingly am ruling over you by disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah. Is that even possible? Is that even permissible? So that's a problem. What does he write about that?
In writings of the last generation, if you would be in an island of savages, that you would be able to save them so that they won't destroy each other with terrible cruelty, and it would only be through religion, would you doubt it? Or not arrange a religion for them that is sufficient in order to save this nation so it won't be obliterated from the world?
Yes. Please.
Sorry, Rav. When you answered, I felt that maybe the approach of not to interfere is maybe the quality of Sodom, where we don't interfere with each other, and this has to be broken. We cannot follow that kind of way.
Good. Yeah, nice. It is similar to the quality of Sodom. All right, we've concluded this chapter, right? What we are, we have Moscow, yeah.
Good morning, Rav. These prohibitions that, or the suffering story that force us to leave the degree, these are sufferings out of what? What kind of suffering? Oh, the Creator is always giving us suffering. We are always advancing by lacking something. It can be in anything. For every person in the world always has something that he is lacking, and this is how he advances. The lack is revealed through the ahap of the upper degree, so that the person has to run to it so that he won't feel it as a lack. The ahap of the upper one, that is empty. And therefore he has to fill himself up. And this is how we advance. It seems to us that we do not belong to spirituality, but everyone belongs to spirituality. Everyone is doing the work of the Lord. The thing is only, is it with awareness or without awareness? Moscow, more?
Ah, zeo.
That's it.
Veseder.
Okay.
Tov, ve yesh lanu.
And we also have, well, Jerusalem.
Sel bemumo posel, az lama yesh hashivut.
If one disqualifies through his own flaw, why is there importance to the choosing of a good environment? I'll repeat the question. If one who disqualifies is disqualifying through his own flaws, why is it important to choose the right environment? I don't understand the relation between these two. One who disqualifies is disqualifying through his own flaws, meaning whatever I see as disqualified, I'm seeing it according to my own qualities. That is true. However, on the other hand, even though I see everything according to my corrupted desire, I must choose a good environment. Good environment is not according to one who is disqualifying by his own flaws, or it's good, or I prefer it. A good environment means an environment that is connected to the goal. Maybe it is not good for me. Maybe I don't like it. But I have to enter it because it is good for the attainment of the goal. That is, it's not an environment that is good for my ego. If it's for my ego, then I would go to a club and play cards and spend the evening there. But if I come to an environment that is engaging in spirituality for the same evening, that is something that I chose as a good environment, even though it's not pleasant for me. But for the attainment of the goal, it is good. This is called a good environment. Not according to my belly, but according to my heart. This is how I check it. How much it is worthwhile for the correction of the heart. Almata. We hear it, but it's very kind of... Let him try.
Я прошу прощения. Вот этот образ, который был создан, когда бегу перед катком, но с намерением...
This picture that when somebody is running ahead of the press, but with the intention to create pressure to develop, I play, I act it. If we compare that with a picture where, let's say, sitting on a boat and drilling a hole, such a thought can come that a person is doing it on purpose so that the group will start to feel some pressure. That is it possible to start drilling a hole but with the right intention because it's beneficial? Well, there is such a thing, certainly. How should I say? Learning from your mistakes or something like that. Yes, we do it. It's good during the time of the study. Let's say you come to study something, so you're given exercises. And in these exercises, you need to see something that's broken and how to fix, how to see that something is broken and how to fix it. This is how we learn, only through corruptions. So it is correct during the study. How do we do our work in such a way? Well, for that you have a group, a corrupted form that you need to correct. Each time we engage in that, when we learn in the spiritual degrees, the higher degrees, and then the upper one shows you what is the corrupted form and the corrected form. And this is what you do. We always come from lack of wholeness to wholeness. And this is why our study includes both of them. There is no degree that comes in a nice, corrected manner unless beforehand it is revealed in a corrupted manner. This is called as no righteous in the land who has done good but did not sin before. Okay. Well, should we move on to the preface? Please.